Okay, this is board time, Wednesday, November 9th at 2:36 p.m.
Okay, approval for minutes. Oh, October 26th and November 2nd.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the minutes of October 26th and November 2nd.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed. Okay. Well, I guess it's up to me. The other two aren't here. Not sure how to. So I brought this up last week, and I guess I'll say again that we're working our tail off. These employees are, and I think it's a good gesture to have a counselor's holiday. It has to be between certain dates. It can't jeopardize service. And I think it is just a great way of telling people we honor them. We do so much in this area that we have to have contracts. That if it's in a union agreement or not, we can't do it. I just think that this was one of the times where it didn't cost us money, didn't cost us service. If you've been here during 3 weeks, it is extremely slow anyway. There's been times I've been here about the only, there's no one in the hallway, so.
So can you, what are the parameters on the timing of the?
I think the parameters are between December
16th of December through the 15th of January, if I remember correctly.
And it's one work day?
8 hours.
8 hours.
And you have to.
Coordinated with their departments.
Your supervisor, your manager.
It can't be added to your, you can't not take it, then have it add to.
And if you don't use it by the 15th of January, it goes away.
Right. Yeah.
To me, it looked like the gift of public funds. It's not something that collective bargaining units have negotiated for. It is a cost to the citizens of Clark County because they expect the same service in that time, not less service. If the people aren't here to answer the phones or to do the job, it's less service. And it's not because we don't appreciate our employees. This year and for the next 2 years, we've overpaid them on a cost of living increase, and they still get their step increases. So it's not a matter of having a choice of cost of living or step. They get both. So we do appreciate our employees, and we do take good care of them. We also provide 93% cost of all their health care, where in the private sector they pay 80% of their health care. So it's not that we don't appreciate the employees, it's just that it's to give the public funds, no matter how you look at it, it's something that we have collective bargaining units that should be negotiating for something like that. So I strongly disapprove. And felt the same way when we removed that. So,
well, I don't think. I guess we have enough legal here. I mean, it's no different than a vacation or anything else. So, gift of public funds question to anyone?
It's not. Funds. There's a state statute on providing. Additional holidays to state and government employees. They call them legislatively recognized days.
Hi.
So I stepped in just a few minutes late. I assume it sounds like you're talking about adding an additional holiday for all the county employees. Is that correct?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I wonder how in the world could that be a priority at this time? Because of the overall big picture context, we can't make ends meet without debt, $7.5 million debt is what the county manager's budget proposes, two 1% property tax increases, cutting the sheriff's department O&M budget by $2.7 million. Why would we somehow give an extra holiday, which works against all of these things, when in that big picture? How does that make sense?
Well, it does not cost us anything, as I said before. It is within that time where we are extremely slow. People are here. People are answering the phones. It's not a lack of service. And so it doesn't cost us.
Well, let me counter that.
Okay.
Because I believe it does. Every time that a county employee takes time off, that work's not getting done. And if that happens to be an extra time that they would normally be, well, let me back up. We already have how many hours of PTO, how many hours of vacation, and how many hours of sick days, how many hours of holidays, how many that they can use to apply to the time when work is slow and when there's holidays, and those are we're normally not here. If we're going to add another one that says that some other day during the normal work year, they're going to take that day off too. And if we're paying a full-time employee for a day of work times 1,650 employees or so, and they're not doing the work, somebody else has got to do the work. That costs something.
No, it doesn't.
Then why don't we give them two or three or even a week of holidays extra? Why don't we do that if it's free? Why don't we give them two holidays?
We're not doing it.
I mean, you are never here. You made the motion that we're not going to be here for the last 2 weeks because we need to be with our families, and you're still getting paid, even though you only show up 2 days a week, but still. So
where we work, whether I'm working in my office at home or my office here, has nothing to do with our
yes,
salary.
Does.
What we're talking about, what we have here is 1,650 employees or so, is that or 1,700, I don't know what the count is, something like that. And we're trying, when the county manager's budget isn't able to meet that, we keep hearing
okay,
about this $20 million
deficit.
Okay,
I'm not going to let you belittle employees, okay?
Hmm?
That's what the two of you do.
Oh,
so if you don't want to do it, fine, don't do it.
We have all the respect in the world.
No, you don't.
Don't put words in our mouth. We've never said that.
Your actions are way more than your words. So,
well, so if I can weigh
that
in.
Makes it look better to you guys, you go ahead.
Fine. Yeah.
This isn't one group of enemies against another. That's ridiculous. I'm hesitant to do it.
Okay.
And the reason I'm hesitant is when we're looking at some of what we're going to need to do to balance the budget, to do that on one hand and allow an extra day off, I'm afraid that the nexus of those two decisions raises questions in people's minds. Now, can you tell me about when there used to be a counselor's day off? How did that work? Was it one day a year?
Between the 15th and...
Right. It was one day in the month surrounding the holidays, 15th to 15th. The employee could use it. I mean, they had to go through the exact same hoops as if they were going to use vacation day or any other day. They had to clear it with their supervisor. They had to make the same accommodation that they do for all that other time in which they're not at work. And it was essentially a gift to all the employees from the council. They could take that 1/8 that 1/8 hours. It was meant as a goodwill gesture and a morale booster.
Yes, and I'd be very happy after the first of the year?
To look at it.
To look at it,
okay.
And say, is that something we would like to return to? Because I heard about that even at the city, and I heard about how appreciative people were that they were appreciated all throughout the area. And City of Vancouver didn't do anything like that. But.
Okay,
so
very good.
It does. It is good for morale.
Okay. Any new business?
Not for me.
Staff report? Oh, councilor reports. Anything? Staff reports?
Okay, we've got a work session request, and I guess Mark and Mike are here and can talk to that.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
It's a big, long 2-hour one, but we don't think we're going to use the whole thing.
Yeah, well, he said you were going to use 1 hour and 56 minutes.
Oh, no. Actually, we'll use 1 hour and some change, but that way you'll have time to actually get up, go to the bathroom, go to your next meeting, and
okay. Not
happen to run and be late.
Okay.
So it gives us a little buffer. But this is a request for up to a 2-hour work session. This is a requirement for us if we expect to participate with the state of Washington, FEMA, and other emergency management organizations, and if we expect to get reimbursed for our losses in the future. This is a plan that we have to put together and make sure that it occurs. And I've got my brain trust with me, and Mike will speak to what this is and why we have to do this.
Okay. Right. Well, basically, we decided that we were going to participate in the hazard mitigation plan. It's one of the partners. There's 17 of them, including us in the region. The hazard, we've been working on it for the last year. Hazard mitigation plan basically deals with our actions as both the county itself and then as part of that partnership. So both joint actions and our own individual actions to reduce the hazards and mitigate against hazards and those kind of things over the next 5 years. The initial part of this plan, the main reason why I wanted to do 2 hours is there's quite a bit of information on it. The plan is actually 2 huge documents. I don't intend to go through all of them, but the first part is 350 pages and the second part is 350 pages. First part deals basically with the identifying natural hazards and our risk to them throughout the county and area, and then a lot of technical data on that, research. That part of the plan becomes our most up-to-date hazard risk assessment for those, which is part of that, a part of this, of tying it into other plans within the county. We're using it as the basis as we update plans in the county of this is the latest hazard assessment that we have. The second part includes jurisdictional annex of actions to take over the next 5 years, the part of that plan by each jurisdiction. So we drafted those up. I worked with the different directors, managers, those kind of things, and have identified those actions. So it's pretty much to bring up to speed to that, and then hopefully move right from that into a formal adoption process, because that's the key. What this plan ultimately does is it makes us eligible under certain FEMA grants and those kind of things for grant money to conduct mitigation in the county. Without this, we're not eligible. So, sorry, I'm going long here. The bottom line is we would need to move into adoption, because right now the plan's been drafted. It's been under public review already through the mitigation process. We're at the stage right now where it's been submitted to the state. And the state, once they approve it, typically will send it. They're going to send it up to FEMA Region 10 about 45 days. That's kind of the should be done around in the December, mid late December time frame, which is why we look to go to February with you guys and get together and brief you up on it, and then start moving towards adoption with a goal of adopting it by the end of April. So
I have a couple of questions, if I might. Is this part of the same program that we were that we have with the region?
The RDPO, is it part of the RDPO?
No, sir, it's not. It's not part of that. This is actually regional here, Clark County. City of Woodland did participate with us, and then it's all public and private partners throughout Clark County.
Yeah. You said FEMA would reimburse us for our investment?
If we play. If we don't play along, not investment, but on our losses. When we have losses like last December, we just received some reimbursements from last December. If you want to look at this a little bit differently, at like 30,000 feet, it's the umbrella that ties together our organization with our sister organizations around us, Public Works, the ME, CCSO. This is a larger picture on how we will all participate together, what our exposures are together, and that's really what this is.
And while being eligible for FEMA reimbursements is a goal of doing this, being better prepared for disasters is and responding more effectively is the true goal.
Yes.
And ultimately, yeah. Mitigation, one of the big things with mitigation is taking the information that we have on, say, repetitive loss properties, some of those kind of things. This is a place that floods continuously. What can we do to take care of that? And if we were to look at that and say, let's do some incentives, do something like that, then we're eligible to get FEMA grants and those kind of things to assist with that.
I'm afraid it might be a deal that if we don't play, that it would be an excuse for them not to reimburse us or help us out in a FEMA right. incident. Do we have an estimated cost of what it would cost the county?
I don't know.
And is it a one-time claim or is it continuous?
Okay, so the drafting of the plan and those things were taken care of by CRESA under a grant themselves. So what it cost the county for as far as us writing and doing our part was my staff time. I drafted up, again, with the other with the directors and some of the folks in leadership here, in the departments, our actions for the next 5 years, which I'll be briefing out at that, the work session, those kind of things. I kept almost everything. I had it in the briefing. I think out of the 20-some-odd line items, at least 17 of them are pretty much staff time. Again, an example, one of our actions is a fire marshal's office during their FireWise campaign is going to provide some more information to the public that we hadn't before in fire mitigation and those kind of things. During any of their visits to industry and those kind of things, are going to encourage them to look at hazard mitigation for both their hazard material storage and also their facilities. This plan goes initial, and then every 5 years there's an update. So we'll continue to go back to this process. We look at those actions, we document what we've done about them, what we haven't done, or why we didn't weren't able to, and we come up with new. I specifically kept this year's, knowing the budget stuff and those kind of things, this 5-year plan down to mostly staff time, people working together, and it's a lot of information collection because we don't know a lot of stuff. So there's some stuff in there about we're setting up a county-wide through at CRESA collection point for one of the items that we identified in the plan was we didn't have good information on local and urbanized flooding. So some of our public works folks have that corporate knowledge from working here 20 years that, hey, this intersection floods every time we get, we're going to start collecting that information so we have more of that stuff. So,
but in this instance, to answer your question, I don't think there's any hard costs involved.
Not there
are a couple that when you see them, look expensive, or they could be very expensive, but they also, I can show you when we go through it, there's a matrix, and they're stuff that would require a grant. We wouldn't be doing it unless we got a grant to pay for it. But to be honest with you, there are parts of the plan that if they aren't included in there, certain actions, a few of them, FEMA will not approve it. So we worked really closely with the contractor at Tetra Tech, who's done multiple of these throughout the country, and got their advice and their information on there are a few items that look really high cost, but ultimately they wouldn't, FEMA wouldn't approve the plan without it.
Mike,
yes, ma'am.
Is this through the FEMA region? We're part of several overlapping
right.
regions or districts here.
Right.
Is this through the FEMA part of the organizations? Or so we have the Homeland Security region,
right.
we have the FEMA district or region, and
right.
then we have the RDPO
right.
regional area. So
this one's actually regional, as in, may I imagine, the county proper, not the county government, but regional, meaning just Clark County, and then we included Woodland.
And part of Woodland is in Clark County.
Exactly.
So, which district is it that is just Clark County is the boundary, is the designated region? That probably isn't an important question right now. Let me go to a different question. Okay. A 2-hour-long workshop on this, I'm thinking, is a pretty long time for the council to sit through. So for the council, I mean, we like a certain amount of detail, but I think it might be useful if it can be focused on the bigger picture and then incorporate the level of detail that helps us understand. But somehow a 2-hour-long work session on this, because we want people's attention. We want the council to understand what this is. So,
and plus we were thinking we're gonna have 2 new council members, and so this is a new thing for them completely.
Well, they better just learn fast.
Suck it up.
And, you know, Councilor, okay. The one thing about the 2-hour, what I thought, because I'm trying to you know, look at what potential issues we might have to talk about. Presenting the information in the plan, and I do have some stuff that's executive summary, that kind of deal, and obviously I'll be providing a link to the plans on the CRESA website right now, where you can see all both the 350-page documents. But because of the fact that this is hazard mitigation, that it's designed to tie into all of our other plans, including things like our comp plan and that stuff, because it does deal a little bit with land use, if we've identified areas that are repetitive loss or repetitive flood and that kind of stuff, I thought there might be some questions and some details of that we might, not just that, but it with other plans, codes and ordinances, all kinds of stuff. So
and maybe have that available. So is there a degree of confidentiality about this?
No. There are a few things that we got in the during the actual hazard risk assessments and those kind of things that are not included in the plan that would be considered confidential.
That you know and you're thinking about, but aren't necessary to include in a public setting.
Right.
Okay.
There are some things. Some of it is federal. One of the hazards that we did look at for natural that's been required by FEMA recently is dam failure and the runouts for where water is going to go and those kind of things for dam failure is classified by the federal government and we can't have it.
So just happy thoughts.
Right.
Sure. Okay, very good.
Work session?
Yeah, work session.
Sure. And we'd be grateful for any time you give us. I mean,
sure.
Yeah. An hour.
We could do one hour and a couple weeks later next week or the next day.
And maybe the second hour down the road is you have some more questions, some areas you want us to explore or something.
Right.
And I can come back and meet individually, whichever. My biggest thing is just working towards being able to get this approved and adopted. So
what time frame
is a process question. Are you required as part of putting this package together to brief elected officials? Is that part of a tied-in requirement? We want to know anyway, but I'm just trying to see if that's a requirement for you fulfilling a process.
I think it's implied only because you have to approve this.
We have to adopt it, officially adopt it, and that's the key. And we have a timeline from FEMA to have that done.
Answer the timeline.
Good.
It's like April. You got to
have it. April.
Press's request, and we have it done by the end of April.
In the work session, when do you expect the work session?
February 8th is what's on the sheet.
Early February. Right.
Because we really can't move forward with the adoption process until the FEMA has approved it pending adoption. So it goes to the state right now, then it goes to FEMA. It should be on its way to FEMA any day now. They take typically 45 days or so. They'll send us a letter basically saying it's approved a pending adoption. We adopt it eventually. All the jurisdictions participating send back their adoption letters. FEMA comes back and says, the plan's approved. Thank you very much.
So it sounds like this is basically informational, because it doesn't sound like it would be sensible at all for us to say, no, don't do that.
I mean, that's what we like to think.
Yeah.
So I say let's schedule a work session February 8th.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good job. Anything else? I think that's it. Okay, we're at ease for a
three executive sessions, one on potential litigation, 15 minutes, two on pending litigation, about 15 minutes each, so I believe that's 45 minutes.
Yep, 7:45.
Any action afterwards?
Any action afterwards?
No,
but no action afterwards.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, we are at ease at 3:45.